The best and worst of the sports week. Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week. Time for the best things and the worst things in sports. We'll take your best and worst on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Rex Road, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Well, best, I got to go with the Vrabster. Vrabel getting that job in New England. Not because we're Vrabel fanboys.
There's like one poster who just every time we bring him up, you fanboys at Vrabel.
I love Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy Mike Vrabel, but regardless, and I'm not rooting for or against Mike Vrabel. I'm just here for the story, man, and I cannot wait to see this unfold. You know, we had a question yesterday on a sham Caroline Fenton judging of Jared versus Joe, and it was, will Vrabel be successful? He said no. I said yes, but she wouldn't define what success was. You know, if successful is win a Super Bowl, I can't sit here and say yeah. But I think he will win. I think he will get them to a certain point. Will he get them past that? Will he have a chance to get them past that? And, of course, everybody here, Titans fandom, is watching closely.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm 100% here for it. And I just can't wait till he starts getting snippy with people up there in the pressers. Because he's going to take some L's next year, and it's going to be fun. Holy cow, did I just forget my worst in sports?
I don't know, did you? Do we need to circle back?
Dude, this I really, like, I'm a little bit worried about myself here. Well, I had some options. I'll throw this one. I don't think this is what it was going to be. But I will go with the Mike Tomlin discussion in Pittsburgh. You know, Mike Tomlin, he's got some stuff to figure out there for sure. Like, I've seen a lot of Steelers fans who want him fired.
Yep.
And you got to be careful what you wish for on that one. And I get that's a fan base that, like, never gets coaches fired, so they never get to enjoy that, like, brief sugar rush of having your coach fired because they've had three coaches for the last 50 years. Mike Tomlin's a very good coach. They are not – like, they got a little bit of a talent issue on defense, as I think we saw. And certainly they just haven't been able to find the quarterback. Does he have share in some blame? Sure. But I think maybe the Steelers made expectations a little bit unrealistic this year. And, yeah, he's very good. You should not want him to not be your coach, Steelers fans.
They could trade him. I've seen him throw that out there, too.
Yeah, there's that, too.
Trade Mike Tomlin.
Oh, shoot. No, here's my worst real fast. No, gosh darn it. My worst is Tom Brady as I take up the entire segment. First of all, we have to have Tom Brady call these huge games. It's not very good. He's gotten a little better. It's not very good. But also, as I see all this stuff with the Raiders, and everything I hear about the Raiders is how much he's pulling the strings.
Yeah.
How could he be an announcer anymore? I'm going to keep bitching about this until this ends.
He's going to play too. What I hear.
Sure. Let's throw that in the mix too. Maybe he can be co-commissioner. And then it's ridiculous. Tom Brady, worst in sports.
He could be Jackie Moon, man, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good reference. All right, best and worst from
you
me.
You nailed it.
Best and worst from me. I don't know if you guys saw. I looked back at the sales to see how much it's gone up. But A.J. Brown reading Inner Excellence.
Yes.
Apparently, the Amazon sales have gone up 53 million%.
Pretty good.
So, I guess – AJ learning or knowing they're showing us that he can read is phenomenal. Well, so
Jalen Hurts doesn't believe he can.
Yeah, I know. He's like, I thought he just had it on the sideline. I don't know. But anyway, that was pretty cool to see that. Just a pretty funny little thing that I noticed. And then the worst thing in sports, the Vikings were my pick. Pigskin pick 'em. And Sam Darnold absolutely pooped the bed, and the Vikings did as well. Was hoping that they would win, honestly. I was pretty disappointed with their game, and hopefully they can figure things out up there in Minnesota.
My best thing in sports, we get Bills and Ravens coming up this weekend, which is what we've all been looking forward to in the playoffs. The divisional round, I think, has a chance to be pretty good. But I think that one's the headliner, the Bills and the Ravens, and we'll see if Derrick Henry can keep it up. He's continuing to be an absolute beast out there. So really excited for Bills and Ravens coming up this weekend. My worst thing, Jermaine McCoy tearing his ACL for the Vols in an off-season workout. Now, according to Austin Price of VolQuest, it looks like he probably is going to be ready for the start of the season, but you never really know with those things and the rehab and all that. So that's Tennessee's best defensive player and has torn his ACL working out in the offseason. And just kind of a sub-rant to that, Joe, in general, I'm going to wait until the picture is done, and there's still some roster pieces that they don't have right now that they're going to at some point. Right now, they got a lot of work to do. Right now, they are significantly worse in my mind than they were when the season ended this year. So, got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and there's always, you know, there's always – there are some young guys that you hope can rise up for sure. But, yeah, the name of the game now is – especially you lose, you know, no surprise at all. James Pierce announced it yesterday. It was just a matter of time. He did wait until like
the end. He did wait until like the very end.
Yeah. But
to the point where Vol Twitter's like, oh, James Pierce is coming back. Thank God.
Sorry. Sorry, Vol Twitter. But yeah, you lose someone like that. And it's like, who's going to, you know, like you've got to replace some of these guys with vets who are good and productive.
Absolutely.
That's how it is.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Ed in New Jersey to the program. Ed, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
So with regard to this GM search, they've got some pretty qualified candidates, some pretty good ones that I think are sought after, and they're all agreed to come back for a second interview. Now, what's more plausible? They're all that desperate, or they actually heard something in the first interview that they liked? So I'm trying to flip the narrative a little bit in thinking maybe Brinker adds sort of an insulation for them from the owner, and maybe it is an attractive job because they don't necessarily have to deal straight with an owner who they may have questions about, and now they have a person that acts as a buffer. So I'm just wondering, trying to be optimistic, if there's anything that could be attractive about this position for them. Yep. Otherwise, why would they come back?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Ed. I'm all about optimistic right now. We've not had a ton of that over the last 3 months.
Yeah, and hey, I'm here for any of that too. But yeah, look, they're an NFL GM in title, okay? So there's 32 of those. There are other NFL GM jobs where the GM doesn't have final say because the coach does. I believe that was the case with Seattle and Pete Carroll. I believe that's the case with Andy Reid. It is the case with Kyle Shanahan. So, to me, it's very similar, right? John Lynch seems to be enjoying being the GM. Well, maybe not this year as much, but you know what I mean. You're gonna still get plenty of credit and reward if your team makes good choices of players and your football team wins. So, sure. I mean, all these people coming here, I promise you, there is a massive pay raise at hand.
That's another.
So, I mean, right? So I mean, that alone would make someone listen.
Yep, absolutely. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans, and Joe Rexroad's got a take on what the Titans should do at quarterback. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Rex Road's laid it out there. The veteran QB route is the route that he will take if he were the Titans this offseason. What about you? What's your quarterback solution? Let's head back to our 1025 The Game phone line. Welcome in Herb in Kentucky to the program. Herb, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Listen, I agree with you 100% about don't take one of these young guys and take a chance on them. Build the team up with that leverage. But the veteran quarterback who I think they should use, his name is Will Levis. He wouldn't be the first guy that started out a little bit rough and turned out to be pretty darn good. I think they ought to at least do one more year.
Thanks for the call, Herb. Well, we've not heard much of that in the last few weeks.
Wes in Clarksville on the text line said, did you ever think Levis would look good with a great team around him?
No.
I mean, look, could he look better? Like, I'm sure Levis would say, yeah, give me those pockets. And, yeah, I'd love to have that. Give me that receiver, that tight end, whatever. Could he be better? Yes. I think this year, I think, again, the questions about his game, the holes in his game, and I'm not even talking – I really am not even talking about the death picks and stuff because I just – yeah, I think he got – I actually worked on that a little bit this year, and it wasn't bad at the end of the year. Again, to me, it's just – he just – the pocket presence, because you're just not going to have totally clean pockets, and just the consistent accuracy. To me, it's just not at a high enough level to hitch your wagon to him anymore.
No, and I think from Brian Callahan's perspective, that's not an option. Like, you can't do that with any, to me, reasonable expectation that you're going to keep your job next year.
Whole coaching staff. Run it all back.
It would be amazing if that was the case. Now, look, Levis may be on the roster. We've talked about that, right? Like, Levis at the moment is going to be on the roster. We'll see if there's any sort of decision on that front that comes this offseason. But he very well could be here. He could be in camp. And who knows? Maybe he comes out in camp and he looks great. And I don't know. To me, for that to be your plan heading into next year, I don't consider that on the spectrum of reality if you're the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Should it be?
It's good to hear, again, it's good to hear people who are, like, trying to be optimistic about the Titans. It's good to hear people who think Levis should get more time.
Well, look.
I love the variety of opinions.
I'm not going to, like, totally, like, throw cold water on the idea of it from the standpoint of we've gone through the veteran options and none of them are great, right? Like, I don't think there's like, oh, good, we feel great about this guy. Like, maybe it was Darnold, but again, I'm not convinced Darnold's getting the free agency. And even that, the last 2 weeks have kind of, it's like, oh, okay, so what exactly is going on with Sam Darnold out there? You brought up Fields, so let's get into that. Fields, I think you've said, would be your pick right now if you were the Titans to be the starting quarterback next year. It's really difficult for me to get there just because I've watched a lot of Justin Fields. And to me, he's got some of the same issues that we're talking about with Levis in terms of processing things and holding on to the ball too long and not being decisive. And I think it's gotten him into a lot of trouble with the Bears. I thought he won games this year with Pittsburgh. So, I mean, they won. The offense didn't necessarily look great, particularly the passing offense, but they did win games with him as their quarterback, so you can't just ignore that. Why is Fields your number one choice at this point?
Well, it goes with, and maybe it's also contradicting myself again when I just talked about, you know, build a great team and then bring in a decent quarterback and that quarterback will look better. I have serious questions about Fields too. One of the biggest reasons is just he's young enough that I still think it's possible for improvement. You know, I still think there could be more meat on the bone there. Maybe this is also just going back to my firm belief in that draft that he was going to be great. And then when the Bears got him, I was like, oh, my God, the Bears did something good. I didn't want him to do something good. I hate the Bears. But I was like, wow, they've actually done something good. And then I was wrong. And I watched him a lot with the Bears. And there would be full games and certainly stretches of games where you're like, okay, that's what we're talking about. This is a big-time talent. And he hasn't put it together. Am I optimistic he would? No, but part of the reasoning for that is also they're going to try to fix the offensive line, but I don't know that they will. I would rather have a guy like that with this offensive line protection situation than a Rodgers, a Cousins, whatever. If you tell me the Titans can actually get to the point of being a middling, decent, solid offensive line, I would probably then switch my answer to Kirk Cousins.
I think I might argue the other way. Like, I would rather have a quarterback that knows where to go with the ball when you have a bad offensive line. Like, and Fields doesn't know where to go with the ball, or at least he hasn't. Like, he hasn't known the progressions have not been a strength of his. Like, I do think, look, we talked about this the other day. The Titans' offensive line has been horrendous, so there's no skirting that. There's no getting around that. I don't think Will Levis helped them at all this year. Like, I think Levis was responsible for a lot of the sacks that this team took this year. So, again, I'm not trying to absolve the offensive line because some of it was just as simple as, oh, look, there's Nicholas Petitfrere on the ground and the edge rusher just jumping over him, getting to the quarterback. But I do wonder, like, if you did have a Cousins or a Rodgers where from a process perspective, you know that there's not a defensive look that they haven't seen. They're going to be able to read the defense, go through progressions, know where to go with the football. I think I'd rather have that than Justin Fields to help offset some of the offensive line stuff. That's just me.
Yeah, I'm not married to the Justin Fields idea. I do think I'm higher on it than some people are. And yeah, like right now, if you made me pick, that's where I'd go. But I'd be like, okay. But again, I'm also saying I'm not going to draft a QB. So really, I feel very terrible about where the Titans are.
There is that.
But I went through the first round picks of these of every team in the Super Bowl era.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's impressive.
Thank you. We're pressed for time because we could maybe get back into this, but I'll give you the number first.
You know?
So the names are great when you go through them, but I'll give you the number. So by my count, and there's some we could quibble with here, they could go either way, and there's some that are pending right now, like Bryce Young.
Sure.
And I'd even say Trevor Lawrence. So my criteria is first round quarterback. And worked out, like actually was what you. If you draft a quarterback in the first round, I mean you should at least see a Pro Bowl or two, right?
I would think so.
Now, if you win the Super Bowl, so I gave the Bears a plus on Jim McMahon, for example. He wasn't a great quarterback, but they won the Super Bowl. Bob Greasy, he probably threw for 63 yards a game. It's a different era, but the Super Bowl era, I think, is a fair. It goes back a little far, but I mean, I think that's fair. You get, of course, that counts as a plus for the Dolphins. They were that perfect team, right?
Yeah.
But by my count, 128 of those quarterbacks taken, 29 I count as worked out. So that's
not a good percentage,
right? It's basically 1 in 5,
yeah.
Which is so. And there's still different degrees of working out too. By the way, like I counted Dante Culpepper as working out. Yeah. Some people would be like, yeah. But he was pretty freaking good for a few years.
He was.
So 1 for 5 is the number. And, again, we can get into some of the names. And some of the ways some of these other teams, you go through the list and you're like, what about this guy? What about that guy? What about Dan Fouts?
Yeah.
Third round pick.
We'll revisit that.
Just saying.
8 o'clock hour. Friend of the show. We got to get Dan back on the show.
We do.
Let's quickly head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Josh to the program. Josh, we got about 30 seconds. Thanks for the call.
All right, guys. So quickly, I realize this might not be logistically easy to happen, but I would like to see them trade back just a few picks, hopefully pick up Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, and hopefully pick up a third-round pick there, and they could maybe get Dylan Gabriel and then go grab Cousins and let Cousins and Callahan do their thing on Gabriel, and hopefully that would work out. And hopefully you'd pick up other pieces along the way that would help both of them succeed. So maybe not easy to do, but hopefully that could happen.
Yep, thanks for the call, Josh. I mean, the trade back, I've said it, that could be the best option. Gabriel's interesting. I'm interested to see where he's going to be viewed by the time the draft rolls around. He's been a really good college player.
Yeah.
Do people view him as a high-level NFL quarterback?
I mean, look, right now, I like him as an NFL quarterback more than I liked Bo Nix as an NFL quarterback a year ago. Yeah, but that true. Shows you what I know, probably. That's probably really the takeaway from that.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Preds assistant coach Derek McKenzie will join us on the program coming up next. The Rex Rant coming up at 745. Charles Robinson at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Chicago Blackhawks at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop 7 o'clock, pregame 6 o'clock here on 1025, 1063, The Game. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 1025, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie. Derek, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
They're great, man. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So Stamkos was talking after last game about how he felt like it was basically an extension of the Washington game. This time the pucks went in for you guys. So overall, in the last couple of games here at home, what have you liked about the way that your group has played, and what do you feel like you guys are kind of building right now?
Well, I mean, I think sometimes – you know, ultimately, when you have a little bit of fear, right? I mean, some of the best records would just come in with Washington and Vegas. And, you know, these guys obviously are prideful guys that want to go into every game thinking that we can win. I think when you get teams like that coming in, you kind of step up, you know, your mind thought, we're at home. We certainly don't want to be embarrassed by two of the best teams in the league. And I thought, you know, we played our best hockey in a sense that, you know, we were relentless on pucks. We were detailed. And we've had a lot of those games. And to Steven's point, I mean, yes, they went in for us against Vegas. But we did a lot of good things in those first two periods. And we have, you know, at moments throughout the season, it's just, you know, didn't seem to be falling the way they did against Vegas. And when you do build a little bit of a lead like that, obviously you can see, you know, when they turn it up, it gave us that buffer we needed to close it out.
Over a lot of years in this city, Derek, you know, we've kind of become used to Philip Forsberg, you know, kind of going on heaters. Sometimes he goes through cold stretches as well. I know he was playing well still and creating offense when he wasn't scoring goals, but now that he's getting the puck in the net, how much do you see that maybe coming with him, and how much would it mean to this team if he can go on one of those heaters?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, you know, scoring goals in this league is difficult, and there's a premium on it, and when we do get it, obviously, you know, it makes us a very dangerous team. I think, you know, really in the last 20 games, you know, you look at some of the analytics, I think we've moved the needle quite a bit in some of those underlying stats that might show us that we're creating enough, you know, whether it's off the rush, off the ozone. To your point, I think Phil's been around it, as he always is. And to your point, you know, he has kind of had that pattern of getting hot and all of a sudden these pucks start dropping in. But I mean, at the end of the day, I think the reality is that, you know, that line, you know, and it took a while to kind of find out where the chemistry might be. And, you know, you're always a little reluctant when Phil had, you know, a very good season with O'Reilly and Nyquist last year, but it seems like those three guys now have pretty consistently gone out there and generated some offense. And I think that's, you know, added another element to our team. And, you know, these guys are all, they want to do whatever they can to win. And I think, you know, you would look at that line and say, you know, that's three pretty dangerous offensive guys, which they are. And so I think if they can continue to produce and then, you know, just chip away at some of the details in the D zone to make sure we're not giving up too much, obviously that gives, you know, Coach Andrew, you know, a weapon that not a lot of teams have.
So, Derek, you know, one thing that Stamkos has talked about with those three on that line in particular playing together is all three of them being right-handed shots. For the casual fan out there that maybe doesn't know why that's a big deal to get used to playing together, why is that so challenging, and how have they been able to kind of overcome that, do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, I think, you know, it starts probably in the face-off circle. I think, you know, there's times where certain things probably are favorable with having some righties, and then some things and some plays and some opportunities that just can't develop with three righties. So, you know, adjusting to those things, depending on, you know, what side of the ice the puck is dropped is something to think about. And then, you know, just starting in our own zone, right? You've got, you know, three righties. A lot of times, you know, some of the breakouts, the wall work, you know, can be tricky for a guy playing on his offside. And then entries, obviously, you know, if I'm entering from the right, I have that kind of Steven Stamkos kind of opening up one timer if it's a 3-on-2 kind of look. But if we're coming down the left side, you know, you might be a little bit more limited in some of the plays that you want to make. You know, ultimately, those are three guys that want the puck, shoot the puck, regardless of the hand they're in. They've had success, you know, whether it's here or somewhere else, probably playing on a slightly different line, you know, with at least another lefty or two on it, and having them kind of being the trigger guys. So I think they've all kind of had to, you know, maybe take a step back and say, listen, we can all shoot, but, you know, some of what we got to do, all the little things to get the puck, to get those screens, to get those middle lane drives, and then the rest will take over. And I think, obviously, and probably more than anything, there's, you know, putting Stamkos in the middle, you can see it has just, you know, he's skating now, he's creating, he's finding ice, he's opening things up for those other two players, which is all just a byproduct of them starting to get comfortable in the system. And, you know, we've seen it before with guys, I remember when Reinhardt, you know, came from Buffalo to Florida, and we were coaching there. You know, there was it took, you know, it's a consistent 30 goal scorer who obviously now is a 50 goal scorer, but you know, it took him time. It took him 20, 30 games to get comfortable in a completely different system and different environment. And I think that's again what you're seeing with these guys here now.
You guys surprised at all with Stamkos and how he's handled this? And as you mentioned, how he's skated. I mean, he's always been that guy, but obviously hasn't played down the middle a lot recently in his career. Are you surprised at how he's handled this?
No, I mean, he's an elite player. You just don't get to where he has in his career unless, you know, you've got all the tools. I think, you know, he's obviously a very cerebral player. He's very, his hockey IQ is very high. I think, you know, he just sees the ice very well. There's not much he misses when he comes to the bench. I think he's pretty, you know, like I said, aware of you know, a great play or a mistake he's made. You know, I think in saying that, you know, I think there's a lot of players that get caught in this situation around the league where you may have had success and some real chemistry and then you move on and you don't. And I don't think the player ever changes. The situation does. And I think he's a perfect example of obviously, you know, playing with a guy like Kucherov, who's, you know, known for his elite passing skills. But, you know, he's come to our team and realized that, you know, that it's a little bit different chemistry here and the way that his line is set up and some of the systems that we play in. And he's proven once again that he's obviously a great player and probably a future Hall of Famer because he's adapted and changed his game a little bit, and now he's having success again.
Well, Derek, looking forward to the game tonight. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. We'll talk soon. Take care.
Preds assistant coach Derek McKenzie, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. Our Preds in action tonight, taking on the Chicago Blackhawks. They did a lot of winning against the Chicago Blackhawks of late, so we'll see if they can keep
that
going.
A lot of teams are, but they are too.
They have, like, specifically killed Chicago for, like, six consecutive years. It's pretty incredible what they've done there. So we'll see if they can continue that tonight on the on that front. We'll have the Rex rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. A lot of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line. Rexroad has done exhaustive and substantial research on the quarterback front, which he's very
for
much
you.
Looking forward to talking
just
about.
For you.
We will get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out here on the program every morning. Joseph, after your exhaustive research, the floor is now yours.
What was the last thing they were talking about? Do you remember?
I don't remember anything we talked about.
Sounded interesting. I got a quick sub-rant, okay? Because, you know, the Golden Hall yesterday with the Preds. And I'm reading Alex Doherty's story.
Okay.
In the Tennessean. So I want to, you know, we've got Poyle, Pekka, and Shea Weber. So Mike Fisher, during the ceremony, said he said that the – Subban Weber was, quote, the worst trade in franchise history, end quote. Now, I understand it's Shea Weber going to the Golden Hall. So, yeah. You know, that would be the place to say something like that. But he doesn't really believe that, does he?
I think he was joking. I think he was just kind of ribbing David Poyle.
Okay. All right. Okay. Because some people believe that.
I wasn't there.
Some people believe that.
I was on baby duty, so I couldn't tell you. But
so why you defended him? Maybe he wasn't joking.
I think he was joking.
Okay. I hope so.
I mean, maybe he was.
Because, like, you know, remember how they got to the Stanley Cup
final?
And
he hated PK Subban.
And PK Subban was.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's like, golly. You know, let me tell you. That trade just drove me up the wall.
But some Preds fans seriously think that. They do. You know that. We've had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into the quarterbacks because I do very much enjoy this. So, like I said, I got 29 of 128, okay? And I'm talking Super Bowl era. I'm talking.
How long did you spend on this?
Working, not that long.
Okay.
I found a list. If you find a list, list on the internet, then you're good. Rather than having to go through each draft.
Okay.
So let's just rip through them. Okay. Bears, as we know, Justin Fields, and we're waiting on Caleb Williams. But let's go. Justin Fields, Mitch Trubisky, Rex Grossman. I don't count Rex Grossman as working out. Yes, they got to the Super Bowl. No, did not work out. Cade McNown, Jim Harbaugh, also not working out. Jim McMahon, like I said, that's working out. I mean, they got the Super Bowl, and he was good. He wasn't great, but they won a Super Bowl. with maybe the greatest defense ever.
How do you count him working out, winning the Super Bowl? But old Rex, he took him
there. Because he won it.
Okay.
That's my difference. I mean, in both cases, really, they weren't great players. But he won the Super Bowl, and he wore his stupid little headbands, all his goofy messages and whatever. Bengals, Burrow, obviously. And Palmer. Before that, how about Akili Smith and David Klinger and Jack Thompson and Greg Cook? Bills, Josh Allen, heck yeah. Before that, E.J. Manuel, J.P. Lozman.
Ooh.
Now, Jim Kelly gives them a 2-for-4, and 2-for-4 in this poll is real good. Broncos, Paxton Lynch, Tim Tebow, Jay Cutler, I give them a no on that. Now, he was pretty good with the Bears.
He was.
He hit. And then Tommy Maddox, oh, UCLA legend. Browns, Baker Mayfield, I give them a no. Now, he was good there, and then they gave up on him, but that's not working out for the number one overall pick. And, of course, they'd love him back. But Johnny Manziel, Brandon Whedon, Brady Quinn, Tim Couch.
They drafted Brandon Whedon in the first round? Oh, my goodness.
Sure did, 2012. Bernie Kosar, there's their one, and Mike Phipps. The Bucks, Jameis, as we know, did not work out. I mean, we like Jameis, but no. Josh Freeman, Trent Dilfer, Vinny Testaverde, and then Doug Williams. I give them a yes on him. He was a very good quarterback with the Bucs. He won a Super Bowl later with Washington. He was a very good quarterback with the Bucs. He actually turned them from laughing stock into like legitimate, decent team. So I give him a yes. Colts, Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning back-to-back. My goodness.
Worked out.
There's two. Before that, Jeff George, John Elway, who of course wouldn't sign with him, Art Schleister, and Burt Jones. Do you count Kyler Murray as working out?
I mean, he's gotten a second deal.
I gave them a yes on him. But see, this is where I got 29 and 128, and this is a debatable one.
Yeah.
How about before that? Josh Rosen, Matt Leinart, Tim Rosenbach, Kelly Stouffer, and Steve Pisarkowitz.
I forgot about Josh
Rosen. Amazing run.
Yeah.
Chargers, I'm counting Justin Herbert as working out. Right now, he's taking a lot of crap. He was bad in the playoffs.
He was. He's still a good player.
He's a very good player, so I'm giving him that. Before that, Eli Manning, who doesn't because he wouldn't sign with him, all the stuff that happened to get him to the Giants. Ryan Leaf and Marty Damaris. Now, the Chargers, as we know, have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. His name is Dan Fouts, a third-round pick.
Of course.
Chiefs.
Did they not draft Rivers in the first round? I can't remember.
Well,
I guess they didn't.
Well, it was the Giants.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
so,
right.
You know, I mean, you could flip-flop and
Archie.
Yeah. All right, Chiefs, Mahomes, obviously. Before that, Todd Blackledge, Steve Fuller. Cowboys, Aikman, obviously. Before that, Steve Walsh. Dolphins, you count Tua? I don't.
No.
Tannehill? I don't.
No.
Marino? Yes. I'm giving Bob Greasy a yes because Bob Greasy, like Larry Zonka would tell you, all 53 times he handed it up to me, he put it right in the pocket, baby. Oh, that Bob Greasy. But we'll give him a yes.
Good for him.
And then Rick Norton. Eagles, Carson Wentz, Donovan McNabb, I give him a yes on him, and John Reeves. Falcons, Matt Ryan is a yes. Michael Vick is a yes. You agree with me or no?
I would say yes, but
it's yes-ish.
It's yes-ish.
And this is the thing. Like, we're going through this, and again, I got 29 working out, and we've already had a few that don't. Then we also have Chris Miller.
Michael Vick took a little bit of a vacation for a while.
Right. Yes. So, I mean, that's a close one. Chris Miller, Steve Barkowski, Randy Johnson. Steve Barkowski, apologize, Steve Barkowski. He's a pretty good quarterback, but no. Alex Smith, number one overall pick for the Niners. Jim Druckenmiller and Steve Spurrier. My God. Giants, Daniel Jones. Hell no. Phillip Rivers. So, again, that's, the flip-flop. Dave Brown. Phil Sims is a yes. He was good. They won a Super Bowl. He counts. Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, right now?
No.
I'm not counting him. I'm giving him the possibility. Blake Bortles, Blaine Gabbert, Byron Leftwich. Leftwich, close. I mean, he was pretty good but no.
Yeah.
Jets, my goodness. Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold, Mark Sanchez, Chad Pennington, Ken O'Brien, and Richard Todd. Give me a big offer with the Jets.
Goodness gracious.
Lions, Matthew Stafford, I'm giving them a yes. They weren't good, but he was very good with them. Even though it was later, I give them a yes. Joey Harrington, Andre Ware, Chuck Long, Greg Landry. Your Packers, Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, both yes to me. Now, it's early for Jordan Love, but I'm counting that as a yes. Then you go Rich Campbell, Jerry Tagge, and Don Horn. Panthers, Cam Newton, yes to me. I mean, he won an MVP and he won a Super Bowl. It was short-lived, but yes. And then Kerry Collins. Patriots, Drew Bledsoe, no. He was good. I mean, Bledsoe's are debatable. He got replaced. I mean, he was good. I'm saying no.
I think I'd go yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, if you go yes, then we make it 30. Then Tony Eason and Jim Plunkett, no. Plunkett later with the Raiders. Raiders, oh, my goodness. Jamarcus Russell, Todd Marinovich, and Mark Wilson. What a glorious history. Rams, Jared Goff is, I mean, I count him as a yes. I mean, he was good. Enough. I mean, they got to the Super Bowl. They gave up on him. But
I think he's a
you
no.
You think he's a no? Yeah. Okay, then I'm back to 29. Yeah. Okay, fine. And then Sam Bradford. Ravens, Lamar Jackson, obviously, but again, like this is where it's like the end of the first round. And then I also gave him a yes for Joe Flacco. I mean, Joe Flacco, yeah. They won a Super Bowl, right? And then Kyle Bowler, my goodness. Saints, Dave Wilson, Archie Manning. Archie's a yes. They were bad. Archie was very good. Seahawks, Rick Meyer and Dan McGuire. Remember, Russell Wilson was a second-round pick. No,
he was third.
He was a third-round pick. Okay. Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger and Terry Bradshaw, two huge yeses. Mark Malone, a big no. Texans, Deshaun Watson and David C.J. Stroud, I think we're going to give them a yes. Deshaun and David Carr. I said no on Deshaun Watson. I mean, he was really good for a couple of years, and then all the crap happened.
Yeah, his is hard because he was really, really good.
And we all thought it was like, this guy's on his way
abruptly.
To be great.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's got to go
I'll go no, yeah.
Titans, Mariota, Locker, Vince Young, Jim Everett, Dan Passerini, and, of course, the one who did work out, Steve McNair.
Yes.
One in the history. And again, Dan Passerini was a pretty good quarterback.
And, again, keep in mind, we're talking first-round picks here.
These are only first-round picks. Right. Vikings, we're waiting on the latest guy, but Teddy Bridgewater, Christian Ponder, Dante Culpepper, I gave him a yes, and Tommy Kramer. Washington, I think Jaden Daniels is going to give him a yes, but Dwayne Haskins, RG3, Jason Campbell, Patrick Ramsey, Heath Shuler.
Shout out to Heath.
VFL. So there's your list. I mean, so what does it prove? Doesn't prove anything, but it's just a good reminder. A lot of these names I mentioned at the time they were drafted, there was a lot of certainty that it was going to go well. And again, you're 1 for 5, basically, if you take a quarterback in the first round of working out to some extent. And some of these yeses are, again, like okay guys who were on great teams. Jim McMahon, I gave a yes. He was a pretty good quarterback on an incredible team. I probably shouldn't give him a yes, but he won the Super Bowl.
Right.
So
you hate Rex
but
Gross.
That's my argument is that if you – yeah, he sucked. That's my argument, which is that you get a good quarterback, you get a great team. If the Lions win it all this year, especially – That just strengthens the argument, you know? I mean, and there's plenty of examples of not elite, not generational quarterbacks who have rings on their fingers.
Yeah, for sure. Now, it's easier.
You want the guy.
It's easier with the guy.
You want that guy. Of course you do.
Yeah. I mean, look.
They're not available this year. I don't think they are.
We keep talking about everybody else. I mean, there's still a pretty high likelihood that the guy that continues to win all the time wins again this year, right? Like Mahomes. They just go out there and they roll one off. Again, just and it's three in a row.
Squeak out another one,
yeah.
Sure.
Like it's very possible that could happen. But, again, like I've also heard this. How many times are you going to have the chance to pick number one overall? You have to pick a quarterback when you get it. And I just don't – I think that's a really good way to get yourself in a world of trouble if you operate
that way. It's
a great
way to miss out on great football players.
Yeah. I think it's a really good way to get yourself in a world of trouble. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Coming up next, we'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans and a very busy time in the NFL as well. Robbie and Rex Road presented by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Charles Robinson up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.